And he testified of an incident that changed his life. He had just become a Christian, and he was still smoking. And where I live, there is a river that divides the town. You go from one side to the next in a ferry. So he was in the ferry, and when he looked up, he saw one of the brothers in the church coming towards the ferry. The brother did not see him, but he was smoking, and seeing this brother, he threw the cigarette overboard in the water, you know. When the brother came into the boat, brother saw him and came to him, and brother said these words that changed his life forever. "Man of God, how are you today?" "Man of God." That's all the brother said to him in his greeting. Suddenly it came upon him who he was, who he had become just recently, a man of God. Nothing else was said apart from, you know, normal exchanges, but that one statement, as if he heard what our brothers sang, "I'll be what you want me to be. I'm now a man of God." If you remember nothing else this morning, that alone should take you someplace. You are not the same person you were before you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are now a man of God. You are now a woman of God if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Join me in the book of Acts for our meditation today. Book of Acts, chapter 17. I'm going to share a few thoughts coming from there. Hope would bless our hearts today. The book of Acts, just the first four verses. And it reads, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Verse 4. "And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas." The Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Short, simple passage, but I think there's a lot that we can glean from it this morning. There's a whole lot that went before that we don't have time to address. In chapter 16 and previously, Paul was running into some problems with believers because, you know, his reputation preceded him, so to speak. And they didn't like him because he used to be one of them. He was a changed man. And, you know, people are stuck in their ways. What he was saying is not what we are accustomed to hearing. So Paul here now, as we are told, was now, it says they, and of course the end of verse 4 told you who the writer is referring to, Dr. Luke, who is referring to. Now when they, the end of verse 4 tells us it's Paul and Silas. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue. Kind of get the impression that there wasn't a synagogue in Amphipolis and Apollonia. Otherwise, they may have stopped there. But when they got to Thessalonica, there was a synagogue of Jews there. And Paul stopped there to minister. And it says, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them for three Sabbaths. And what One of the things that caught my attention in the passage is how precise the writer is in describing Paul's exchanges with the congregation of the synagogue. He used precise words that I want us to look at a little bit. Dr. Luke Mayer, well been a reporter, for it's so special here. It says, and for three Sabbaths, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating. Those three words caught my attention. He was reasoning. That is, he was analyzing from scripture, interpreting, hypothesizing from the word of God to these men in the scripture. It doesn't say he was arguing. He was not illogical. No, he was reasoning. He was not irrational. Then it went on to say that he was explaining. Remember, it said from the scriptures, explaining. In other words, he was clarifying. He was illustrating. He was simplifying. He was illuminating all from the scriptures. As it says so clearly, you know, sometimes we can try to share the word of God, but it's our own theory and we're using our own logic and trying to get people to understand that. Hear a lot of that on television, of course. Not Paul. It clearly says from the scriptures. Then it went on to say he was not only reasoning, he was not only explaining, but he was demonstrating. You can't miss those. In other words, he was proving. He was establishing. He was signifying as opposed to objecting or challenging them. All from the scriptures. All from the scriptures. And verse 3 tells us that Paul here twice refers to Jesus Christ as the Christ. I want you to notice that also, demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this is Jesus whom I preach to you. This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ, not a Christ. The Christ. There is only one Christ. There is only one deliverer. There is only one mediator between God and man. Paul was saying to them that he was the divine Son of God. He was the Moshiach, the Messiah, the sent one from Almighty God. That's what he was saying. Where I live in Cambria Heights, just behind me, one street, there is a guy who was buried there. They call him the Moshiach. And these folks, they occupy a spot in the cemetery. And they don't leave that place. They look at it 24 hours. They are there. They pass through my street on 233rd or 120th Avenue. Some of them, they're going there for the first time. If I'm outside, they would ask me for direction. They got to go there. During the summer, they put out placards. The police, you know, letting us know that there'll be many visitors in the area because they're coming there to visit the Moshiach's grave. And the reason why they occupy that cemetery is because they want to be there when he returns. I feel so sad for these people. There is only one Messiah, and he's Jesus. And this is what Paul was getting over here to these people twice. I want you to notice something else. It says here that Paul was reasoning with them from the scriptures. What scriptures? What scriptures? So, it's kind of the beginning of Easter season. And you'll hear many sermons concerning Easter. And I bet you that most of those sermons, 90% upwards, comes from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Or from some other New Testament book. Oh, a few references to the Old Testament. But most of the Easter messages will come from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Paul did not have that luxury. The scriptures that is being referred here to is the Old Testament. Don't miss that. That's all Paul had. He only had the Old Testament from which to preach from, to reason from, to explain from, to demonstrate from. But hear what Paul was explaining and demonstrating, that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. Paul had only 39 books from which to do that. And sometimes with our 66 books, we can't even do it properly. What a man. He knew his word. He knew the word of God. From the scriptures, the Old Testament, explaining to them, demonstrating to them, reasoning with them. Oh, there's so much in these only four verses. I'm trying to stay on track because there's so many things that comes to mind in that, or with that. Now, the question that we should next ask ourselves is this: where then was Paul witnessing from? Where did he find, in other words, in the Old Testament, places to confirm the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Where? We're almost like challenged to find out where is it that Paul was getting his facts from. First, it said Christ had to suffer. That's one of the things that he reasoned with them. Where would Paul have gotten such information to reason that Christ suffered? And let me tell you, in looking at this, I'm not ashamed to tell you that I found so many Old Testament passages that refers to Christ and his suffering. There's so many types in the Word of God in the Old Testament that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's worth the study of each and every one of us, because we are quick to go to the New Testament for our facts. But we remember the old saying that the new is in the old contained, and the old is by the new explained. And this is a clear case of it. The new is in the old contained, and the old is by the new explained. So one of the popular chapters that we can make reference to, and again, I have to limit this to a few passages because there are a whole lot of them. I was pleasantly surprised about that. Psalms 22. Look at verse 14, for example. It says, I am poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of the earth, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast lots. Now we can read about all of that in the New Testament. But Paul was speaking from the Old Testament. And here, I'm sure Maybe one of the many scriptures that he referred to as he went into the synagogue. Only with one man by his side, Silas, and a whole lot of people surrounding him. But he was able to stand up to the test. Why? Because he knew the word of God. I shouldn't have to tell you of what an advantage it is in so many ways to know the word of God. And here, of course, Paul puts it to good use. He didn't wait. He went to the synagogue. That's another thing. He was positive. He didn't wait for people to come to him to share the word of God. He went to the synagogue. The very first verse of Psalms 122, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? These are some of the verses referring to the suffering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there are more, but time is going. I want to quickly go by. His death. Where could Paul have found scriptures that spoke to the death of Christ? Psalms 31 and verse 5. In your hand I commit my spirit. We know that verse quite well from the New Testament. But here from the Old Testament, it speaks of the end of Christ on the cross. You know, it's marvelous because you wonder if in the case of the Psalms, David, if he only knew what he was writing about. This must have been the Spirit of God in control of his servant. He could not have known this. It gives us another reason for trusting God. Because what God says will come to pass. Peter may not have had clarity on what he was recording, but he did as the Lord told him to do. He was truly, in spite of his frailties, a man of God. Isaiah chapter 53, 1, a passage that we all know so well. He was put in a rich man's grave. Why would you be put in a grave? Because you're dead. Only dead men go into a grave. Psalm 16 and verse 10. For you will not leave my soul among the dead and allow my Holy One to rot in the grave. That is speaking of the death of Christ. Christ died. And you know one of the things that is noteworthy? When David wrote of the crucifixion of Christ, there was no such thing as crucifixion. It did not exist at the time. He was writing about a future time when something that did not currently happen was going to happen. It happened some 900 to 1,000 years afterwards. My God. Can we trust God? You bet we can. We don't understand everything. Sometimes we even think God doesn't know what he's doing. But we better trust him. We better trust him. I have a whole slew of scriptures that I can share with you, but we must move on. We must move on. And of course, we can look at his resurrection, because it says Christ rose from the grave. Psalms, of course, I read part of that already. For you will not leave my soul among the dead, meaning that Christ would not stay dead. He would rise from the grave. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19, another verse that speaks of the resurrection. It says, but those who die in the Lord will live. Those who die in the Lord will live. Their bodies will rise again. see, what we read in the Bible about what will happen to us after we die, Christ himself demonstrated that in his own life. And here it's written about hundreds of years before it actually happened. And Paul was using the Old Testament. I can't overstate that. Not the New Testament. Not those books that we are more familiar with. We are certainly more familiar with the New Testament than the Old. And Paul was using that to make his point. What I like about what Paul did is that it was a pattern of what the Lord Jesus Christ himself did. Actually, Paul was walking in the footprints, as it were, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the story of the two men who were on the road or going towards Emmaus in Luke chapter 24? Remember those two guys? And it was after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ came up to them and asked them something like, what are you guys talking about? And one of them referred to him, I think it's something from verse 13. One of them referred to him, turned around and said, who are you, man? Are you the only man in town who doesn't know what happened around here? How the one we were looking towards deliverance, how he died, and today has been the third day since he died. Disappointed. They were banking on Jesus and he was dead now. Their jaws had dropped. What are we going to do? He's gone. The one we were depending on is gone. Our Lord is gone. They were sad as they walked in the road to Emmaus. And the story is picked up in verse 27. And Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. What was Jesus referring to by saying the prophets? He was referring to the writings of the Old Testament. But it doesn't stop there. He says, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And hear what verse 27 says. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. And that word expounded tells you how much of scripture the Lord Jesus Christ referred to as he spoke to these two men. It says, and he expounded to them in all scripture the things concerning himself. Himself. That's exactly what Paul did. Paul used the Old Testament to point to Jesus. And here Jesus used the Old Testament writings to point to himself. Oh. So, verse 4 now of our passage. What's the result of Paul's reasoning and explaining and demonstrating? What's the result? And some of them were persuaded. That's what verse 4 of Acts chapter 17 says. As a result of Paul's reasoning and clarifying and demonstrating, the result was that some of them were persuaded. When we use the word of God to present the gospel, the Spirit of God takes over and works in the heart of men and women. Some were persuaded. Oh, I hope this morning that we have, this afternoon now, I hope if we have anyone who came in here not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, that you have been persuaded that Jesus is the Christ and that he died for you. that you need to trust him for your salvation. Are you persuaded? Some were persuaded. Are you persuaded? Or are you going to leave just as you came in? This was a serious matter to Paul, you know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul wrote a very important line, important and interesting. Hear what he says to the Corinthians. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Ha! We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, through me, through you. We are men and women of God. Oh, man of God. That's what the brother said to the young man. And it changed his life. He realized who he had become when he made that decision for Christ. Oh, man of God, how are you today? Today, he is an elder in one of our churches in Canada. And he said that statement just like was a light that shone unto him. Do you realize that you're a child of God? And if you're not, are you persuaded? I trust that what the Lord has shared with us this morning, shared with me, for me to share with you, in the least, raises some questions in your heart, that you would take it upon yourself to go home and continue to read this passage, which has been a blessing to me. It's so revealing, just those four verses, and we have a tendency too often to read scripture very quickly and just run off. We take the time to read the Word of God slowly and meditate on the Word of God. The Lord will speak to you, and the Lord will persuade you to understand not only your need for salvation if you don't know Christ, but that you are a person of God. You're God's hands, you're God's feet. God wants to use you. God wants to do something through you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this extraordinary apostle we know as Paul, formerly Saul, for he was transformed. On that road to Damascus, you met him. Oh, Father, is there someone here this morning, this afternoon, that you would like to meet, just like you met Saul? May they not be resistant, O Father, to your call. Paul was not. Father, it took your blinding of him physically for his spiritual eyes to be open. May it not be necessary for anyone here who doesn't know you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for open hearts and open minds. Thank you for being gathered here today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.